Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
You apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS report.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm kind of a hermit. I like to be in the house all day long if possible, but a lot of times the wifey doesn't allow it.
And Chris Ello.
Keep all your arms and legs away from my mouth when Sonic arrives.
Wow, that was the perfect clip.
Brother.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, 4:04 on the clock. Short show today for Gwynn and Chris. Thursday night football follows. Taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. That follows the show. We are in the midst of Chris versus the Fan, so let's get right back to it. Taking Phil in San Marcos. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris. Happy Thursday.
Yeah, thanks. Happy Thursday to you guys.
Hey, Phil.
Here we go. First question.
Hey.
Angels star Mike Trout, now three-time MVP, has season tickets to what NFL team?
I think that would be the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think that would be correct. Nice work there, Phil. Let's move to question number two.
Phil should know an answer that is Philadelphia. His name's part of the answer.
At least he got Phil.
Exactly.
What Dodger player won NL Rookie of the Year in 2017?
Bellinger?
Wow. Nice work, Phil. That is correct. Bellinger.
Also, total guess.
Also the 2019
Oh, well,
MVP.
Well, since it was a total guess, you're out of the game. Sorry, Phil.
Man, you're cracking up, Phil.
Here we go. For the family four-pack of movie passes, here's question number three. What child's toy did Minnesota Viking kicker Fred Cox invent in 1972?
You serious?
Wow. That's the question. Okay. I don't know. An axe? A chopping toy? I don't know. Isn't that what people in Minnesota do?
They do. I don't know if that qualifies as a child's toy, but that is incorrect. Chris, do you have a better answer?
A retort.
What? Did you... What kind of toy he invented? Is that what you said?
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
No, it's a sports question.
Seriously, Phil, you ought to play trivia on another station. This has gone bananas over here. I don't know, Slinky?
A Slinky? That is incorrect. Phil, you are the winner.
All right.
The answer to the question.
What was it?
A Nerf football.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh,
Fred Cox invented the Nerf football in 1972, according to Ed Scrapey.
And he still receives quarterly checks for the Nerf
football.
Oh, he's got
to be a rich man.
I would assume so. Nerf footballs are still being made.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Fred Cox, did you know who he was?
I don't.
A kicker.
Yes, he was a kicker for the Vikings, Purple People Eaters. Straight
on
kicker.
Oh, he was part of he's a toe kicker.
Straight on toe kicker back in the 70s, Fred Cox.
That's probably why he invented the Nerf football, because his feet
He got tired of his toes. He was practicing.
Nice work, Phil.
Good
Hang
job,
on
Phil.
Line.
Stay there. You are a winner today. Nice going. Oh. Other winners today, Cody Bellinger and Mike Trout.
Yes,
those
are the positive stories going around in baseball right now.
Oh, boy.
MLB has now put their coat on and is heading out for their investigation. They have already contacted the Astros and Red Sox. They won't just be looking at 2017. Among those the league plans to interview in its investigation are Astros manager A.J. Hinch, Red Sox manager Alex Cora.
Suspended.
New York Mets manager Carlos Beltran. Sources said the three were part of the 2017 Astros championship team. Hinch the manager, Corey the bench coach, Beltran the player. Their involvement in the investigation was first reported by The Athletic.
We've talked about it all week. I mean, this has got a chance to be one of the big scandals in the history of baseball. And baseball has to investigate this and hope that they don't find anything.
Yeah.
But I don't see how they're not going to find anything because we've already seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's video of it all over the place that the Astros are flat out cheating. A.J. Hinch, in my mind, will not be the manager of the Houston Astros next season. He may still have that title, but I don't think he's going to be in the dugout when the season begins. I would be awfully surprised if he gets out of there without some sort of huge suspension. The general manager of the Houston Astros, Jeffrey Luhnow, something like that?
Yep.
He might as well start finding some other work because he's going to get suspended for a good portion of a year. I think the suspensions are going to be real similar to what you had in the bounty gate for the NFL. And that was coaches, and that was front office people, and that was players because everybody's complicit.
I have to say, because I don't know if it's really hitting people right the exact way it should. Just think about it. Like, sign stealing happens all the time, right?
Right.
Usually there's a runner on second. If you're having to have I don't know if you guys read this, Washington Nationals, they were prepared for this. According to, I think I read it in The Athletic. I'm not 100% sure where I read it, but they were prepared for this sign stealing that teams had been saying the Astros were doing. They had three different sets. They had catchers with the wristband on.
Did they really?
So they were prepared for it.
Wow.
And
that tells you that everybody knew what was going on.
Yeah.
What would you prepare for something that wasn't happening?
100%. And the crazy part is most of the time sign stealing happens when there's runners on, which is why you have multiple signs. You chase the two, things of that nature. But in this case, there's nobody on base. So how else are you getting the signs? And that's what the investigation is really going to be about, is how exactly are they doing it? You know what I'm saying? Because that's going to be the thing that gets people in trouble.
I mean, is it going to be – sorry, Scrape.
No, my bad. I was just going to say, not only that, but now other people around the league are going to have to deal with this. Anybody who's touched the Astros organization since 2017, Alex Cora is being asked about it. He was on with WEEI earlier. I have that audio if you guys want to hear it.
Yeah, what did he have to say about that? That's an interesting – I was curious to hear what Alex Cora would say.
Yeah, I have talked to MLB. And I'm going to leave it at that. You know, I think it would be irresponsible from my part commenting on what's going on while the investigation is going on. The Astros are doing the due diligence. MLB is doing too. And let's see where it takes us.
Boy, that's was that an evasive answer. My goodness, Alex. You could not have sounded more guilty. I mean, if he had to come on and they asked him the question and give those guys at WEI credit, our sister station, for posing those questions, those are tough questions to ask a guy that's on your show every week.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a friend of the show, and you're putting him on the spot like that. But he also knows you have to ask it. Alex Cora would have sounded less guilty if he would have said, yeah, we stole signs, than he did by saying what he said, because he just opened up even a bigger can of worms.
Very evasive, wasn't it?
Yeah, very.
They also will interview, this is a name that's been in the news more recently than this stuff, is Brandon Topman. Will also be the guy who was fired after...
Right.
After
yes, this. Always interview people that get fired by an organization. Those are good people to give you dirt.
They usually have something for you.
Yes, they usually have something for you. That's right. Good thinking. Yeah.
You know what? Our one of our tweeters yesterday tweeted, maybe this is why Nolan Ryan left early. And the more I thought about it overnight, it's a rumor, but it could make sense because he doesn't want to be involved with any of this.
It makes sense. I mean, Nolan Ryan doesn't want his name tarnished, but I think people will make the connection that Nolan Ryan's been a pretty big part of this Houston Astro organization during their heyday run here of the last several years. He sits right behind home plate at every single game.
Yeah.
And they show shots of him at least four or five times a game. So, yeah, I see where the tweet was coming from, but I think Nolan Ryan's going to, his name's going to get tarnished a little in this. I think every, I mean, just about, God, baseball's name is going to be tarnished in this. It's going to be down to the fact where you may have to find out which teams we're sure didn't cheat just to make sure that, you know, people aren't doing this. I mean,
yeah, because
God, I want to get an edge. I really do, but I can't. If I have to cheat to win, then I'm not winning. That's always been my feeling on it.
I agree. This is not a, as we talked about, this is not a good look for baseball.
No, it's not.
Coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called. Call us back at 833-288-0973 to win a family four-pack of tickets to join us for the 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night at the SeaWorld Celebration. Presented by Sprint, Friday, December 13th, experience over 1 million lights and the all-new shows and attractions like the Sesame Street Christmas Village, the Winter Wonderland on Ice Show, and the Circuit Christmas Show. And be entered to win our grand prize, of course, in Vegas, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner for two at Las Vegas Oscars Steakhouse, and two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter.
Woo! And now it's halftime of the Steelers-Browns game. God, that takes forever to read.
All right. When we come back, Chris and I are locked up in an NFL pick'em game. We got to get to it when we come back. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
And Thursday Night Football plays tonight because it's Thursday night. Pittsburgh-Cleveland coming up about 40 minutes away. Till then, Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Time now for our pick'em segment for week 11 of the National Football League. Through 10 weeks, Tony Gwynn Jr. and Chris Ello both have records of 22-8 for 46 points. However, Tony Gwynn has five upset picks, which have earned him an additional 27 bonus points. Chris has four upset picks, which has earned him 16. Thus, the total is 73-62. Tony Gwynn Jr. with an 11-point lead. Chris Ello, desperate to cut into that lead. Let's see what happens.
Your first pick today.
Oh, we don't have an open for this anymore?
I don't think we ever had.
Yes, we did.
We did, but we're not allowed to use that voice. And I will fully say I've been lazy.
My goodness.
I shouldn't have said that.
No, you shouldn't.
I haven't been lazy because I didn't want to do it. I just had more important things take precedence.
It wasn't the priority.
Thank you.
Well, make it a priority.
It's not because I'm
that
lazy.
Sounds a lot better than I was just lazy and didn't want to
Can
do it.
Can we go back in time? Can I go back in time?
I hope you save that clip, too.
I just have other...
I was just lazy.
Oh, man, that is a clip.
Thomas,
when
you get in here, man, make sure you pin that.
Oh, he just wrote it down on his piece of paper.
Good.
He's got it. He'll save it. All right, we do a three-point pick, a two-point pick, and a one-point pick. And we do not pick against the spread. We also then have that upset pick. All right, I'm first this week, I believe. It's an odd week, odd Thomas type of week, week 11. So, for 3 points, I'm picking the game I feel most confident on in the entire NFL schedule this week, and that game would be Minnesota Vikings beating the Denver Broncos. So I will take, for 3 points, the Minnesota Vikings.
I will take, for my 3-point pick, the Oakland Raiders.
I love your Raiders. They've been good to me. Oh, they've been great to you. I mean, they've been really, I mean, as an upset pick, I think you've hit them three or four times.
I've hit them twice for sure.
Yeah. All right, Oakland's hosting a winless Cincinnati there, so Tony likes that one. For 2 points, I'm almost forced to do this, Scraby, and I don't want to.
What are you doing again to my team?
Well, I can't help it if your team is on its way to blowing an 8-0 start and missing the playoffs. But I still have to pick the 49ers as my 2-point game because it's the only other huge spread on the board, and I don't want to just hand it over to Tony. So I'll take San Francisco to beat Arizona. They beat them a couple of weeks ago. Now they'll be at home. They got to make up for that shaky performance on Monday night.
He just loves that.
It was. It was a terrible performance by Jimmy Jesus.
Oh, man. Where do I want to go?
Now, where are you going to go now? Now, huh? Pressure's starting to get to you now. I see.
Give me...
2-point game.
Oh, give me New Orleans.
New Orleans. Good pick. I was going to pick that as my 1 point. But I no longer can, because you just took it as your 2 points.
I did.
New Orleans is playing at Tampa Bay this week. Tony going to go 2 points on the Saints. They're also looking to bounce back after a really, really
on the
bad.
Road too.
What happened to them last week? They couldn't do anything. The Atlanta Falcons look like world beaters. All right, so now I have to find another 1 point pick. All right, I jinxed them into a victory a couple weeks ago. I'll do it again. For 1 point, I'll take the Buffalo Bills to beat Miami Dolphins. Dolphins have won two straight. Two more games than the Patriots have this month. Leaving one game for you for 1 point. Who do you like?
Give me the Rams.
The Rams. Sunday Night Football. All right, so Tony's 3-point game, he's got the Raiders. 2 points, he's got the Saints. 1 point, he's got the Rams. Chris, 3 points, Vikings. 2 points, 49ers. 1, Buffalo. Now it's time for our upset pick. We clear the slate, can choose any game. And if your team wins, then you get the amount of points that they are underdog by. And I told you that I'm 11 points down and it's desperation time.
Yes, you did.
It might be a little early for desperation time, but
I agree.
But I just feel that the 10 points that I could get if this team pulls an upset are almost as likely as any of the other 4 or 5 point potential upsets. So I'm going to say the Cincinnati Bengals win their first game of the season, and I'm going to go for 10 points, upsetting your Raiders, who have carried you to the lead that you now have.
Wow.
Yeah. I will then counter your 10.5 point.
You're not going to go with Denver, are you?
With Arizona.
Oh, for 11. My goodness gracious. You could put this thing completely out of sight if you win that one.
Oh, Scravy would be so salty.
If Arizona beat San Francisco.
Arizona beat San Francisco.
And last week you picked Seattle to beat San Francisco, and that paid off nicely for you.
So it's your fault.
You know, basically, what Tony's doing is he's got two strategies. He either picks the Raiders to pull an upset or the 49ers to be upset.
Yeah.
And it's been working for him all year long. All right. That's how it plays out for week number 11 in our NFL picks. We'll tell you how we did on Monday. Actually, yes, because the Monday night game is Kansas City and
the Chargers.
I wrote San Diego down on this sheet.
I almost said San Diego. How funny is that?
Look at this sheet. It says Kansas City, 3.5 points over San Diego. My goodness. How many years has it been? How many years has it been?
Three.
God. And it's not like I miss them. I mean, I can't stand them. But, yeah, it's just automatic, I guess.
That's the way it goes sometimes.
Who is it? Howie Long or just San Diego every single time?
He just has no shame either.
No. No, Michael Strahan gets all the Twitter about it.
He does. He's
Howie!
Like, how many times are you going to say that? Like,
Howie!
You shouldn't blow up your co-host.
Well, how else can you pronounce a guy's name other than Howie if his name is Howie? You can't make it Howie.
Can we practice Howie's now in the break?
No, we're going to pronounce Armando Varela. That's what we're going to pronounce and practice right now. Armando Varela, you are our biggest fan today. You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. Congratulations, Armando. If you call back, you have won tickets to 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night at SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. You'll also be entered to win our grand prize, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner for the uniquely Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter if you have not yet entered out there. But Armando Varela clearly has entered, and now he has won if he calls back within the next 10 minutes. 833-288-0973. Good luck, Armando. Good luck, Scraby. You got to deal with us in a big five next. It's Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Interesting there during the break, huh? Watching a little MLB Network.
Yeah.
And you would think MLB Network would be trying to find excuses for Major League Baseball and the Astros, but not the guys they had on there tonight.
Well, Dan O'Dowd was given, he was passionate about what he was talking about in terms of them losing, Astros losing their way. And first baseman.
Carlos Pena.
He said it perfectly. Listen, it's pretty black and white. Like,
yeah, this is no gray
there's
area.
There's no gray area. They knew what they were doing. Dan O'Dowd's take was basically that, listen, they lost their way. When winning became more important than the actual Major League Baseball game itself, you've lost your way. So
that's a great point.
Like
by
I
Dan
said,
O'Dowd.
We're gonna. This is gonna get. I think Chris, you said it best earlier. There's gonna if this, and it looks like it's pretty black and white. As
it looks really true. It really looks like the Astros cheated.
There is going to be some significant punishment for that organization, and it's probably going to start from the president all the way down to the manager.
And, you know, Nolan Ryan might have left the organization, but that doesn't mean his name is not going to be besmirched here along with everybody else's. AJ Hinch is, I mean, he's lost a lot of my respect almost already, unless he can now prove to me otherwise. Did he not win a manager of the year in there somewhere?
He did.
I mean, come on. I mean, you're manager of the year because you came up with the best cheating system. I mean, that doesn't impress me.
You just think like a lot of those players, regardless, because they're, doesn't change the fact that they are a talented bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually makes
play.
It more mind-boggling that they even went down this road because those guys are, on a skill-wise, have plenty enough to be World Series champions.
There may be several guys that knew about this and just were like, I don't want to hear about it.
Right.
Like, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want to touch it. But you know what? Their names are all going to be part of it, too, now.
There are. And there's guys who took advantage of it. There's no doubt. There's always like that on team. Even when you're getting the signs the right way, you know, when you're picking them or you're picking up tails, there's guys that don't want to know.
They feel
like it messes them up more. So I'm sure that's the same thing with these guys. But we've stalled long enough to get our man's back.
I'm back.
He was struggling there. Sonics.
What happened there?
No, I'm on.
What'd
a
you
new...
have to do? Run a lap?
We don't need to talk about it. I don't even know why I'm going down that road. Let me get out of here.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Before we get to the Big Five, did we mention how great Sonic was today for bringing food in?
Thank you.
God love
Thank
those
you.
Guys. Thank you, Sonic. Thank you, Jeff.
Hey, you've seen
Thank you, everybody at Sonic.
You've seen the movie Friday before, right?
I've seen the movie Friday.
Well, nobody going to the bathroom for about 45 minutes.
our boss was just showing us a news story that they were announcing of, I don't know where it was, but the guy
in Kansas,
a fast food restaurant said he was going to go blow up the bathroom, and people thought he was talking about a bomb. But no, he was just going to use the bathroom.
No way.
Yes.
Is that what that was?
Oh, my goodness.
Which is amazing.
Too funny. Let's get to this Big Five.
We better.
Number five.
All right. If you have any Big Five topics, you can find me on Twitter at Matt Scraby. I appreciate all those people that followed me yesterday after I pleaded with them too, which I felt pathetic about later. But okay. It's all right. We're okay.
Get in where you fit in, brother.
That's right. I don't know what that means, but sure. Load management is a big topic in the NBA right now because who wants to see the best players sit when you have a ticket to the game? Well, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban thinks that load management is good for the NBA, but thinks teams need to be smarter about when they sit their stars. He said, quote, "The problem isn't load management. I think teams have to be smarter about when to load manage. I'm all for load management. Worse than missing a player in a regular season game is missing him in the playoffs," said Mark Cuban. He added that load management is a byproduct of increased investments in biometrics. So
can you say the phrase load management any more than you just did?
No, that's why.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
That's why I laughed in the middle of it. Mark Cuban thinks it's all about biometrics now. So, Tony, where is load management headed in the NBA?
First of all, Mark is a nerd as well. He's a rich nerd. Wealthy nerd.
Yeah.
And he's always been at the forefront of the, you know, biometrics and things of that nature. I don't disagree with him. When teams are investing, you should be able to use the players the way you want to. Keep in mind, though, that there is a paying customer. There is a time and a place and a certain way it should be done. I don't know if you guys noticed yesterday, they changed, or they did it today with Kawhi Leonard. Did you see that they no longer are using load management?
What are they using?
They're using, left knee management.
That's even dumber than load management.
That's
left
where we are.
Left knee management?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't see how you can stop them from sitting, guys. My suggestion was to put a rule in that you could only sit guys out at home.
Games, yeah.
And just because that would keep LeBron James in the lineup when the Lakers play their only game of the season at Madison Square Garden. But you can't put a rule like that in, because what if LeBron James really got nicked up and was hurt and couldn't play? We can force him to go out there in a wheelchair. I mean, there's just not a whole lot you can do about this. I think it's now to the point where if you're an NBA ticket buyer, beware. And I think that that's what it's come down to. You have to realize that if you're paying big money to see Zion Williamson play, and that's what matters most to you, you may not get to see him play. It's a possibility.
I believe that load management isn't really an issue. I believe because it's Kawhi, and it might be, it's load management, as I said a couple weeks ago, is a Kawhi Leonard problem. Nobody else is really load managing. Like, everybody else is playing the games unless they're hurt or unless they're nicked up, as Chris said. Now, obviously, the cat's out of the bag with Kawhi. Now, they can go ahead and try to change it to left knee management all they want, but we already know what it is at this point. But I think it's more of a problem for Kawhi Leonard, at least from the standpoint of he's the one that's doing it, mainly.
By the way, in the world of theater...
Theater?
Yes, Broadway theater. If you go to see a play, right, and there is a star play... Now, let's say you're going to see, I don't know, Al
Tiki
Pacino
on Broadway.
No, I'm going to go a little bigger. But let's say Al Pacino starring in a play on Broadway, and you buy tickets to go see it. And if he's sick and he doesn't perform that night, they make an announcement right before the show. So-and-so will play the role of blah, 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 blah. Al Pacino will be back tomorrow. They don't give you any money back.
Nope,
they don't stop the play.
Nope.
They just go
the
ahead and play.
The show goes on, as they say.
And usually the guy they bring in to play the Al Pacino role does pretty well anyway. There you go.
All right, let's go.
Number four.
Now, my computer's not working, so we're going to go off the cuff here, guys.
Off the cuff?
Yes.
Is that a good thing with you?
We're going to go off the cuff.
This is not
it's
a
okay,
good
Thomas,
thing.
Thank you. A former New Jersey high school baseball player sued his coach for ordering a slide into third base that he claims permanently injured his ankle, but a jury said no. Former Bound Brook High School ball player Jake Mazar, now 22, accused Coach John Suk of, negligence for the...
His name couldn't be John Suk.
It's S-U-K.
Yeah.
Suk?
Well, I guess it could.
John Suk. It was a costly slide during a bang-bang... Thank you, Tony. I got it. My computer's up now. But I like the story better than the one I had anyway. Well, Mazar was 15 at the time. He was a freshman playing in a JV game when the coach signaled for him to slide in the second inning, but he said that his lawyer said that the coach blew the call by having the teenager slide too late when he was too close to the bag. The player said he heard a loud pop that left him screaming and writhing in pain and ended his playing days for good just as a high school athletic career was getting underway. So
he would have been a multi-superstar hero who would have made $200 million in his career, so that's what they sued the guy.
Will you let me finish? Because the next line in the article is a promising athlete. He was, and now his career is over.
Right.
Who's a promising athlete according to?
The promising athlete himself.
Yeah, exactly.
So the kid said at the trial, he said, "I felt bad for my parents. They would never be able to see me play again."
Oh, my goodness.
His suit sought a seven-figure payout for damages.
Told you. What did I say?
The coach said, "I see Jake approaching third base, and I also see the ball traveling in flight. I make the decision for him to slide to avoid injury and to avoid contact so he could approach the bag safely. It was going to be a bang-bang play." And he just said that it was one of those things. So, my question for you off the top of my head, Chris.
Yeah.
How can
are
people,
they wasting
how can coaches,
away our court
no.
system with stupid,
that is
frivolous lawsuits?
How can coaches make sure they're protected? Why is Tony shooing me?
I don't know.
It wasn't a dumb question.
It's not a bad question. How can they make sure they're protected? I guess the only way they could possibly make sure they're protected is to not be a coach. I mean, in this day and age now, if any kid gets hurt, they're looking for some excuse and they're going to blame a coach for it, or they're going to blame an umpire for it, or they're going to blame... I mean, look, these cases need to be thrown out of court before they ever get to this stage. And that's what we need is some judges who realize how frivolous all this crap is.
Tony, you have Gwynn Baseball. You deal with younger children and all that stuff. Does that worry you ever?
No, it doesn't. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I'm sorry. Like, the kid, and by the way, I wasn't shooing your question. I was shooing the lawsuit at the kid.
I feel better now.
I let you know if I was shooing your question.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, really, like, he slid too late and he popped his whatever.
He shattered his ankle.
His ankle. That makes it sound way worse, too, by the way. Shattered it. Who's to say that the coach got the sign down late? How does he know that he didn't pick him up early enough when he was already telling him to slide?
He might have been telling him to slide for 5 minutes.
Right. I mean, it's an unfortunate incident that a kid got hurt. There's certain, the percentages of him being a first round pick, which would have got him seven figures, in a draft, is like
infinitesimal to
0.3% or something ridiculous like that.
You know what? Because of this kid's character suing, I'm glad he got hurt.
Oh my gosh. I don't know about that.
He just decided to sue? Like,
I am.
This
I'm
happened
tired
when he
of
was,
people like this.
This happened when he was 15. He's just now deciding to sue at 22?
It's been going through the court system for a while.
I'm tired
2015.
Of this stuff, man. I'm tired of this stuff.
The trial was the trial began in 2015. He says he'll never, the doctor said he'll never fully recover. A juror, after the trial, they asked, "What do you think?" And the juror said, "How was the coach reckless? That's how you play the game."
That's exactly what it is.
And that juror.
But how it got to a jury in the first place is beyond
the
me.
The fact that they're spending money on lawyers.
That's right.
4 years later to.
How much money do those guys make?
How much are they spending?
A lot, I guess, a lot.
Lawyers ain't cheap, I know that. Unless somebody's doing his pro bono.
The coach said that. Last thing, the coach said, quote, "Coaches are going to have insurance like doctors for malpractice. School districts are not going to want to take the risk of having sports."
It's so true.
Yeah, that is true. All right, let's move
number
on.
Number three.
The Jacksonville Jaguars will have their prize free.
We have definitely renamed that team on this show.
The Jaguars.
Yeah.
We'll have their prize free agent signing Nick Foles back under center on Sunday after breaking his collarbone in week one. He only played 11 plays in week one, by the way, but while he was gone, the Jaguars started Gardner Minshew, and he played okay for them during his Foles absence. The Jaguars went 4-4 during that span, while the six-round rookie completed 61.2% of his passes for over 2,200 yards. He also threw 13 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, had a 92.8 passer rating, but he led the league in fumbles with 11. He doesn't think that was it's going to be too bad, though, because he thinks this is the only the beginning. He said, quote, "I think I proved I can be a guy in the league for a long, long time. I think they believe that. And there's other things we're going to get better at. So the next time I do get this opportunity, I'll be ready and I'll be better. And we're all going to progress together," end quote. Tony, is Gardner Minshew a starter in the NFL?
I think he can be. I'm not as concerned about the fumbling part. I think you learn how to protect the football in the pocket and things of that nature.
Somebody's probably going to measure his hand size.
I'm sure that'll happen.
Right.
I think that the signal that shows me that he can be a starter in this league, considering how he came into the league, is that he only had the 4 picks in those games. Through how many touchdowns? You said 13?
13.
13 touchdowns, 4 picks. I think that's a guy, and he seemed like he managed the game pretty well. Other than the fumbles, which I think is something he can work on. It's not like he's not seeing the field and just throwing it to anybody. He's doing a pretty good job in the game. When you got a defense like that, that's really your job. So I think hopefully by the time he gets another opportunity, he shored up the fumbling issue. I think he can be a starter in the league.
Chris?
Yeah, I think he did. I mean, if you go 8 games and go 4-4, I mean, I think you've proven you can start in this league. I think that...
Isn't that what Baker did? Post something around there?
Not much better or worse, yeah. I just think maybe 10, 15 years ago, somebody like Gardner Minshew the second, the fourth, Minshew, probably wouldn't have been good enough to be a starting quarterback. But in this day and age, with the guys that are running out there, I think he is good enough. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Number two.
Tom Brady is once again playing at an elite level as an NFL quarterback at the age of 42. And we've all heard that he wants to play until he's 45. Well, his trainer was on our sister station, WEEI, and joined the Greg Hill Show to talk about the GOAT. They asked Alex Guerrero how long Tom Brady could play, and Alex Guerrero shocked them all.
Well, you know, it all comes down to commitment, really. No one thought you could play, you know, at the elite level and in your late 30s or early 40s. That's something we've always felt that we could do. And so I've just really, you know, wanted to be there to help him accomplish that goal. I certainly do believe that 45 is a very realistic goal. So, you know, we talk about it all the time. Like every year, he just adds another year because he goes in. He's like, God, I just feel so good still. Like, I think I'm going to go to 45. I'm like, okay. And it's like now he's like, Alex, I think I can go like 46 or 47.
So he really thinks, Tom Brady really thinks he can go to 46 or 47. Chris, would Tom Brady be the best athlete in all of sports if he was able to play at a high level into his late 40s?
You mean like in the history of sports?
Yeah. I don't think anybody's performed higher than he is at his age.
I'm trying to think of a guy. Like Nicholas, I think, won some big stuff at 47 or something like that, maybe.
We're talking golf.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm not coming up with anything.
Like in the three major sports.
Yeah,
like
we're not talking about
basketball.
NFL, NBA, big, you know. Yeah, well, Brady's already at the top. I mean, I don't know what else he needs to do or can do to get even better. I mean, if you're going to rank some of the great athletes of all time, Brady's going to be in the discussion. I think we've talked about that before. And as long as the NFL rules stay the same, the way they are now, where you really can't breathe on a quarterback, he's got a decent chance to keep on playing because he, I'm sure, does have the commitment to keep working hard enough to continue playing.
It's kind of psychotic to me, to be honest. Like, how much he's able to keep his focus and to eat right and to work out. It's a little psycho.
I think Kobe Bryant said it best. In order to be that good, you have to be maniacal about whatever
it
is.
So you're a psycho.
You're kind of a psycho.
Kind of a psycho,
kind of have to be. I think he could be, I hate to use the word athletic, because I don't look at Tom Brady as...
He doesn't seem athletic,
he's not
per se.
Per se. What was the original question?
Would he be the best athlete in all sports if he was able to play high level into his late 40s?
I don't know, best athlete of all sports. I'd say he'd definitely be the greatest football player, for sure. I mean, playing that late. Football is the only sport where they have a position that you could actually attempt to play this late. Like, there's way you could play any one of the 5 positions at 40 plus in basketball.
Can't play point guard at 47?
It's tough. My dad's retired at 41, I think, baseball, and he wasn't an everyday guy at that point. Like, it's just, What you're required to
baseball
do
as doesn't. A, baseball requires you be there every single day. Where right. football, you take a pounding, but you still do get a week.
You get a week
games.
In between at his particular position specifically. It's played with the head. It's played from the shoulders up for the most part. Yeah, you got to have arm talent. You got to be able to be accurate, but there's a lot of quarterbacks that can do that. That's not what separates Tom. It's the shoulders up that separate Tom. So, yeah, I'd say yes.
All right. What do you think, Thomas? Do you think that Tom Brady could play 47?
Why are you asking him?
Because he's been honest with us lately about his Patriots.
Let's see how much that honesty lasts.
Is he going to play till 47
do you
with the
want,
Patriots?
Do you want Tom Brady to play as your quarterback until 47?
No. Ooh. You kicking the goat out?
Are you ready to kick the goat out now?
I mean, at 47, I mean...
It's only 2 years away, right?
He's 42.
Oh, that's 5 years away.
That's a long...
Thomas, as a Patriot fanatic, who's going to last longer, Belichick or Brady?
Belichick.
Belichick said he didn't want to coach past 80. Or how old is he now? He's in his 70s.
He's in his 70s right now.
Yeah, he said he... I don't know. All right. I don't know why I asked you, but...
I think they should both go out together.
Number one.
Just kidding, Thomas. People are always like, why are you so mean to Thomas? Number one, Notre Dame's streak of 273 home sellouts is expected to end with Saturday's game against Navy. According to the school, the streak is the second longest active streak compared to Nebraska's 373, according to the South Bend Tribune. And that dates back, this streak started in 1973. The school said, quote, based on ticket sales through Wednesday, we do not anticipate sellouts for our games against Navy and Boston College, which is on November 23rd. This comes during a time of sustained success for our football program, reflects both challenges impacting the ticket market nationwide and the unique dynamics of this year's schedule. So, Tony, what does this tell you about college football?
I don't know.
Or what does this tell you? What does this tell you? I mean, that's a pretty big streak to come to an end since 1973.
Who are they playing this week?
Navy.
That's why. Maybe nobody wants to see Navy.
You don't think in any
they
point
play
in
Navy
time,
every year, though.
You don't think at any point in time in the 273 games there was a clunker in there that they didn't sell out?
San Diego State was one of those sellouts.
Maybe it's cold. I don't know. I don't know why they...
Maybe it's cold.
I am not out that way to be able to understand the dynamics of why they aren't selling out. That's all I got for you.
What does this tell you, Chris? Here comes.
I guess the Notre Dame fans are finally getting a little tired of being second fiddle in college football. That's all I can think of.
So join a conference.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're not in a conference. They're holier than that. I think the most interesting thing, part of that story, honestly, is that Nebraska's got the record. They haven't won a game in about 10 years.
That's true fans. Those are true fans
those
out there.
Those are crazy
they got
true
going
fans
on
there.
In Omaha.
That's going to do it for Gwen and Chris. Thursday night football follows. Thomas Andrews, fantastic job. Matt Scraby, our lovely producer, doing
Thank
his thing.
You.
Chris Allen and I will be back tomorrow. We'll be at Cathedral High School, Lancers, Dons. Playoff matchup.
I'm going to go eat some Sonic.
You guys enjoy the night. Gwen and Chris. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.